This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. And you are listening to Ecotopia, a weekly program exploring ecosystems, environmental, economic, social, and technological. I'm Susan Chudy.
And I'm Stephen Chudy. Tonight, our focus is on technology in an ecotopian world, and our guest will be Bill Hillel, author of a new book called Technology's Promise, published by Palgrave Macmillan. We'll talk with Bill about the role technology can play in a transition to a sustainable world, or as he phrases it, quote, converting the energy and environmental mess into an opportunity. Bill also has some interesting ideas on how technology may lead to a non-hierarchical restructuring of business, government, and other institutions. Our opening music tonight was the James Bond theme in honor of Q, the Gadget Master.
Ecotopia is made possible by listener contributions and by Roots Catering, full-service event caterers specializing in menus full of fresh, sustainable food grown in or near Chico. Roots Catering can be reached by calling 891-4500 and on the web at rootscatering.com. And by Serenity Homes, specializing in Fuqua manufactured homes built using sustainable building practices with over 70 floor plans to choose from. The Serenity Homes in-house construction staff will assist you with all of your on-site development needs, from permits to the final inspection. For more information, you can visit them on the web at www.serenityhomes.com or at their showroom, located at 2490 Bruce Road. Serenity Homes can be reached by calling 566-9480. The opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. We'll be back shortly with some news on technological gadgetry, some gizmos that maybe you didn't get in your Christmas stocking. Was the theme from Inspector Gadget, and tonight on Ecotopia, our topic is technology and its role in the environment and in human lives. We begin with some recent news items. From MarketWire comes an announcement of Last Gadget Standing, a new products competition that will take place next week, where else but in Las Vegas. The sponsors explain that they'll take the, quote, top 10 coolest gadgets for 2009, pit them head-to-head, and have the audience online and at a live event vote on their favorites. This year's contestants include a new network, a modular build-your-own gadget kit, a personal stress reliever, new camera phones, and a high-definition video camera. Previous winners of the competition include OnStar, the General Motors Satellite Tracking System, the Roomba Robot Vacuum Cleaner, Celestron Sky Scout, which uses GPS technology to help identify any visible object in the sky, and iFi, a device that transmits digital photos directly to a personal computer wirelessly. As we discuss throughout the show, the question remains whether these kinds of gadgets are a healthy use of resources and ingenuity. Do you really need a robot vacuum cleaner? But if you want to follow this year's competition and even vote on the coolest gadgets for 2009, go to lastgadgetstanding.com. Go to lastgadgetstanding.com.
A contest with more fruitful and perhaps less self-indulgent technological devices is the California Clean Tech Open, an annual technology contest that aims to, quote, serve as an innovation catalyst, providing the infrastructure and processes to develop and motivate entrepreneurs and early-stage companies creating clean, environmentally sustainable technologies. The winners in their 2008 contest included, in the air, water, and waste category, may I have the envelope, please? Over the Moon Diapers, a San Francisco enterprise that says its DIDs offer substantial energy savings to both diaper services and consumers and are made almost entirely of recycled and recyclable fabrics. In the energy efficiency category, Veritas Earth, which has developed a $350 device that the firm says can improve the efficiency of residential air conditioners by at least 20%. In green building, Bottle Stone, a Los Altos Hills business whose ceramic stone surface material is 80% recycled waste glass. In the renewables category, Focal Point Energy of Mountain View, which captures the power of the sun using thin, flexible, reflective membranes to produce hot water and steam for industrial use. In smart power, Power Assure of Santa Clara makes on-demand energy-efficient management software for data centers. And in transportation, ElectraDrive of San Francisco specializes in converting conventional cars and light trucks to electric vehicles. Each winner in this contest received a prize package worth $100,000, $50,000 in cash, another $50,000 in business services, including office space for a year in a San Jose startup complex, plus legal, recruiting, accounting, public relations, insurance, and marketing help tailored for an early-stage company. If you're interested in that contest, go to cacleantech.org.
A group that tracks new technology in service of the environment calls itself the Eco Geeks. Their mission, quote, science, technology, gadgets, and baby seals. We're in a bit of an eco mess, but we've got the brains to lick any problem. And that's why EcoGeek.org publishes up to 10 stories daily about innovations that are saving the planet. In the current issue, Megan Tracy writes of an invention that is aimed at urban wind power. She writes, wind power has so far been relegated to areas offshore and rural, but a Cleveland State University professor wants urban centers to be able to join in the fun too. Dr. Majid Rashidi has designed a helical wind tower that can harness wind from atop city buildings. The spiraling towers, outfitted with miniature turbines at each spire, are expected to have a power generation ratio of 4-1, which would power the tower itself as well as contribute power to businesses, hospitals, schools, or residential buildings. While turbines are still the most efficient technology for harnessing wind, these towers would allow wind power to be generated in places where large open space isn't available and could help bring renewable energy to where large populations live. One of the major drawbacks of wind power has been the transfer of energy from rural areas to populated areas. These towers allow the electricity to be generated on site, which is usually far more efficient.
The EcoGeek site also doesn't mind poking fun at frivolous inventions. Yoni Levinson writes in this week's issue about a pair of sunglasses that come complete with solar panels, teeny tiny solar panels. She writes, thanks to thin films, and in this case dye-sensitized cells, designers can put solar panels pretty much anywhere. The fact that the two designers created self-energy converting sunglasses probably has less to do with the inherent brilliance of this creation, more to do with the fact that they were looking at a pair of sunglasses one day and said, hey, what if we put solar cells in these? She continues, it would take a lot of guts actually to wear these solar-powered shades in public, even if the things do power your iPod. They aren't exactly Ray-Bans. Also, the last time I checked, solar cells worked best when positioned to face the sunlight. But people don't like to look into the sunlight even when wearing sunglasses. Seems like a waste to make solar cells that will end up capturing so much less energy than they could in another application. EcoGeek is online, www.ecogeek.org. Well, that's enough of gadgets. We'll be talking with futurist and technology expert Bill Hallal right after this. That was Land of the Future by Josh Lasden and Synoptic. We're on the phone now with Bill Hallal, author of Technology's Promise. Bill is a professor emeritus of science and technology at George Washington University and is founder of TechCast, an organization that ponders technology and its future applications. Welcome, Bill.
Hi, Stephen.
Well, being a prophet is difficult, sometimes dangerous business, even especially if you're wrong. We were looking this up. The Old Testament suggests that false prophets should be, quote, cast alive into a lake of burning with brimstone.
Well, that's right. You know, I try to avoid that comparison, but that's absolutely true. If you forecast the future or study the future, it really is being prophetic. With all of the dangers that presents, you're exactly right.
But in your book, In Technology's Promise, you boldly make numerous predictions, and you've developed a system with TechCast to make this a little more reliable and to avoid the brimstone. Could you tell us a little bit about TechCast and how you make your predictions?
Well, we don't call them predictions for that very reason. A prediction implies you have some access to some kind of extrasensory knowledge or something. This is based on what I think is good science. We gather all of the information available on all of the 70 or so technologies we study, and that's empirical data. And then we have 100 experts who look that over and try to make sense out of it and give us their estimates for when these technologies will enter the mainstream, size of the economic market, and their confidence. And that's good social science. So we're getting the consensus, the scientific consensus of opinion on leading people in the fields.
I know the list of consultants is online, and we'll give the TechCast website a little bit later, but could you tell us, how do you choose those experts? Where do they come from?
Well, we just find the best people we can. People can apply online to at the site, and we take them through a test. We have questions to test their knowledge, and we look for their qualifications. We want people who have advanced degrees and publications, inventions, that kind of thing. They're not all world-renowned, but they represent the leading edge of creative thought in science and technology.
Let's focus. We both enjoyed very much reading the book. You have a number of categories where you do talk about our future. We were especially interested in the second chapter, where you explore the transition to a sustainable world, which is quite closely related to our program, Ecotopia.
Yes.
And you express confidence that many of the world's most pressing problems can and will be solved partly or fully through the use of technology. So perhaps we could talk a little bit about that. You begin by saying we have to face up to the realities of the population explosion, energy consumption, growing demands for declining resources.
Yes, these things are enormous problems. They're unprecedented. They can't be ignored. And I don't think we can muddle through this kind of thing. The globalization is increasing the magnitude of these problems very quickly. The world will, world GDP will roughly double in about, very quickly, the world will, world GDP will roughly double in about 12 years. 2020, global GDP will be twice what it is now. And so all these problems will double along with it. And so it just has to be addressed. And, in fact, it is being addressed now. Green business is one of the hottest things among entrepreneurs. We forecast that the climate change problem will be addressed in about 5 or 6 years. And I think that's likely to happen. And we forecast that alternative energy will provide 30...
Here, we've done a number of shows on alternative energy here on Ecotopia. When your group think are going to be the best possible sources for alternative energy. What do you think, for example, of the various options?
Well, the main sources right now are wind power. Wind is growing dramatically. It's growing about 50% per year because it's competitive with oil. And biomass is almost there, creating fuels out of cellulose with complex microorganisms is going to be the way that's going to be done. But the real big breakthrough is going to be solar. Solar photovoltaic cells will reach parity with oil. That is, the cost will match the cost of oil in about 5 years or so. And when that happens, it's going to take off. There's almost no limit to the growth of solar in particular. I think it's going to comprise a big hunk of future energy uses.
One of the things we've also talked to people about on this show is how those things are going to come about, whether it will be, what if the government will provide incentives or if there will be requirements for people to...
Mandates.
That was the word. I couldn't think of the word.
Sure.
How do you see that playing out? Do you think that we're going to have a lot of support from governments?
I think the Obama administration seems determined to do something about this, and I think it's a wonderful opportunity. America could lead the world in solving this enormous problem of energy and the environment. It would be good for everybody. It's going to be about a $1 trillion industry when it matures. And solving these problems could, in fact, lead the world out of the global recession that we are entering right now.
Right, create jobs.
So there's a role for government, but fundamentally, the costs have to match the costs of competitive sources, oil, and that's happening. That's why it's growing so dramatically. Alternative energy is growing, as I said, about 50% per year. It's one of the fastest-growing sources of economic development.
One of the things that has interested me, when we went through our last kind of petroleum disaster in the 70s when Jimmy Carter was president, At that time, there were a number of alternative energy startup companies and
yes.
a lot of ideas for solar power. I had friends who worked for solar power. And then as soon as it looked like we were okay with petroleum, all of a sudden those companies
yes.
just went away. What do you think will make this crisis different from our crisis in the 70s?
Sure. Well, these things come and go. The car makers
yes.
introduced fuel-efficient cars a number of times, and they didn't take off for the same reason. It was just a little premature. But now I think it's clear that this is a serious problem that has to be dealt with, mainly because peak oil. Oil, mm-hmm. I think, is peaking this decade, there's a good number of people who agree with that, people of sound judgment. And the price of fuel, I think, is clearly going to come back. So the days of cheap oil are over.
We wonder about Americans' shortest attention spans,
right.
their self-discipline.
Sure.
Gas in our neighborhood is down to $1.67 a gallon compared to $4 just a couple of months ago. And we reported a story on last week's program that hybrid sales are down. For a while, you would pay over the asking price for a hybrid. Now they're cutting deals on the hybrid showroom floors to try to get people to buy them. And, of course, we saw the same thing in the 70s. We behaved for a while. We drove 55, and as soon
sure.
as the gas prices came down a little bit, we went back to business as usual. What's your feeling about our willingness to be disciplined along these lines in the future?
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. These are very tough transitions. It's historic to leave one energy source and go to another, and the whole infrastructure has to change. So it's going to be long and hard. But the present low prices, I think, are a passing thing. I don't think see how that can last. It's largely a result of the decline in demand
right.
with the economic mm-hmm. recession. And as economic growth starts picking up in a couple of years, well, I think those prices are going to increase again.
It does relate to population growth. We were talking with a stock analyst earlier this week as we looked at our own accounts, and he was saying as long as the world's gross domestic product continues to grow, the stock market then will look lively and come back. But we seem in some ways to be locked into that growth model in business, industry, in government as well.
Well, are you saying that there are negative consequences to growth, Stephen? Is that what you're
focusing
on?
There we go,
on?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We've debated on this program in the past, the whole grow or die
sure.
Belief in business. And so,
yes.
So we're raising the question, does the world have to continue to mm-hmm. grow, expand,
sure.
in order to revive the economy, in which case some of this green business can take off?
Right. Well, there is such a thing as unsustainable growth, of course, and mm-hmm. I think that's absolutely true. And that's what Americans have been doing for the last 10 or 20 years. This rampant consumerism has not been sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're exactly right. That is being washed out of the economy right now, which is why we've seen this big drop in consumption. And so that's healthy. But I think sustainable growth is absolutely necessary. There's three-quarters of the world barely has a sustainable standard of living.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where the growth is going to take place. China and India, those people are entering the middle class, the mm-hmm. modern world, and they deserve it, and it's going to happen. It's going to be a continuing source of growth. But the hope is that it would be sustainable because the economic system will change to reflect real costs and real benefits of growth.
One of the things that I think is a mark of your book is that you talk about rational people or, you use reason a lot to talk about these things. And I'm wondering if we can count on our vast populations in this country, in India and China, and I think of Eastern Europe, too, where people have watched the United States prosper and have things and things and things, and if they're going to be satisfied with being more modest in their consumerism than I think the United States population has been.
That's a good point, Susan. We have been a poor example. But what's interesting, I think, is the attitudes of younger people, the millennials. We have two children who are in that age group. People were born during the turn of the century or somewhere around that. the people who are now kind of 18 to 30. Mm-hmm. And what's amazing is the attitudes they have are so totally different. They embrace diversity. They don't understand. They see no differences between gender or races or homosexuality or any right. of that. It just doesn't mean anything to those people. And they are global in their orientation.
Right.
I think that's because they were raised in a digital culture, and they share that culture with young people around the world. They most of them traveled around the world. And so this generation is the generation that's going to solve these problems when they take power in about 10 or 15 or 20 years. But they're starting to exert influence right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're a different breed of people.
Yeah. We do have a couple of kids of our own in that age bracket, and we would totally agree. Indeed, at one of the places where I volunteer, I was talking with a young person, a college student at Chico State, who kind of blithely said, well, our generation is going to solve the problems that yours tackled and failed.
Yes.
And it set me on edge, of course. I became defensive, but she had utter confidence that this would take place.
I think so. They really are a very different people. And protecting the environment is foremost in their minds. They don't have to be talked into that.
Okay.
But there are prescient leaders right around here now who understand this. I think President Obama is clearly of that persuasion. You know, the things that he seems to espouse fit right in with solving these enormous problems. We call these problems the global crisis of maturity in the book. Mm-hmm. It's like mm-hmm. the transition young people make when they leave the teens and become adults. They realize they can't fool around anymore. They have to shape up, and they have to get their acts together. That's roughly where the world is now. We can't tolerate the kind of behavior that's gotten us into this problem over the last 50 or 100 years. And I think people know that. There's a sobriety around today. People are prepared to make tough choices.
I'm interested in your thoughts on the future for organic farming and having a green, safer food source. And I'm wondering if we can be organic and economically viable, too.
Right. Well, you know, the green revolution, the use of chemicals to increase product farm yields was really powerful, and I think we may continue mm-hmm. to use chemical fertilizer and pesticides, but to a much more modest degree, because the advantages of organic farming are becoming appreciated as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there may be some blend of those that will be used for farmers. We'll have to see how that works out. But organic farming is growing also.
One of my favorite writers is Michael Pollan, who wrote The Omnivore's Dilemma and the most recent book on food, and had an open letter in the New York Times to the next president of the United States on farm policy and food policy. But one of the things that he says that I think about a lot, because our son has an organic farm, and that is that there's no such thing as I just lost the term. What the term that he uses, but like commercial organic. That is whenever you have to monocrop, have to do massive growing of one kind of thing to meet the market demand.
That can't be done organically.
You have to start compromising. I mean, there are people who do it, but there are still compromises in terms of soil and that sort of thing, what happens to the soil.
Sure. There may be some compromises. For instance,
right.
Walmart now sells organic produce, which has made organics really big time now.
Right.
And it you're right, it raises the very question you pointed out, that if Walmart sells the stuff by the carload,
yes,
can't
right.
really be produced the right way.
Right.
I don't know. I think it probably can. Maybe some compromise. We forecast, our experts collectively think that one-third of farming will be done using organic methods by 2020.
Okay.
And that's because people are keenly aware of the destructive qualities of chemicals in their foods.
Right.
And studies have shown that
right.
If you give young children, for instance, organic foods, the level of toxic materials in their blood changes dramatically, very quickly.
Right. Yep.
There's no question that it's different.
Right. And one of the things, of course, that could support this is...